just for the record, item 913 has been pulled back. That's the Southwest in Motion plan. Commissioner Udaley requested that be pulled back. We had two items that we did not complete this morning, 907 and 908. And Carla, we're going to read 907 and 908, and it's my understanding 918 should be read with that as well. Would you like them read separately or together?
Together, please.
If you could read all three together, then 907, 908, 918, please, Carla.
Okay. 907, accept bid of Stellar J Corporation for the Dam 1 needle valve replacement project for $1,499,000. 908, accept bid of James W. Fowler Company for the South Portland Burlingame Phase 1 sewer rehabilitation project for $2,235,000. And 918, amend ordinance to authorize a competitive solicitation contract with the lowest responsible bidder and provide payment for construction of the South Portland Burlingame Phase 1 sewer rehabilitation project number E10680 in the amount of $2,235,000.
Very good. Go ahead, Lester.
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners, I'm Lester Spittler, the city's chief procurement officer. The first item, 907, is for the Dam 1 needle valve replacement project. The Water Bureau sought an authorizing ordinance on May 1st, 2019. That ordinance was 189478. The engineer's estimate at the time was $2 million, and the level of confidence was moderate. We issued an invitation to bid on June 12th, 2019. Bids were due on July 30th, and the city received four responses. Stellar J Corporation was the apparent low bidder and is the recommended awardee in the amount of $1,499,000. The city's 20% aspirational goal of certified subcontractor and supplier utilization applied to this project. Stellar J committed to the following utilization. They are going to self-perform 87.4% of the work. They have identified certified subcontractors to perform 2.19%, and they've identified non-certified subcontractors to perform 10.41%. It's important to note that Stellar J is self-performing 87% of the work, so their ability to meet our 20% aspirational goal, there's a conflict there. We did review the effort made by Stellar J to engage certified subcontractors. They reached out to approximately 62 certified subs in the areas of work that they are not going to self-perform, and majority of the responses that they got back were subcontractors rejecting the opportunity. Either they were too busy or they couldn't perform the specialty nature of the work for this project. We did also talk to the city project manager and the project manager from Stellar J, and they did confirm that this work is inherently difficult to find certified subcontractors to perform. They also made a comment about our low bid solicitation method. So when we issue a low bid solicitation, the contractors obviously have to submit the lowest bid to get the contract. So when they're trying to engage subcontractors, they are also requesting bids from those subcontractors, and they are compelled to accept the lowest. So from Stellar J's perspective, you know, it's a difficult goal to meet, knowing that we have issued a low bid solicitation and that they're compelled to accept the lowest bid from their subs as well.
Commissioner Hursty.
Thank you, Mayor. Lester, was that not clear in the RFP that they responded to, that we had this aspiration?
No, it was clear.
So, I mean, I find it kind of ironic that at the end of the day, they're like, oh, that was just too hard for us to do, so we're going to do most of the work ourselves. That's not going to ever get us to the goals that we have if that's the response, because everybody can say that's the response.
So Commissioner Fritz is not here to speak to this, Mayor, if I could.
Commissioner Fish.
There is actually, I did a Dam 1 project when I had the Water Bureau, and this is in water work. Highly specialized. It's very similar to the work that's going to be done under the Willamette River with the replacement pipe. Commissioner, what we learned then and what I know now is that working in the Bull Run watershed in water, highly regulated work because of the nature of the work, and I'm going to give you a preview because you're going to have the same questions when you see some numbers on the Willamette River crossing. Because of the technology, because of the work conditions, because of the regulatory environment, because of many things, it turns out there are certain projects Water Bureau does where the contractor self-performs. Self-performing, I want to be clear here, is not because they found it inconvenient to do subcontracting. The bulk of the self-performing is that it is highly specialized and technical work that they are doing. It doesn't excuse them from trying to find other pieces that we do, like trucking and, right. and what have you. Although I will tell you, there's less of that good work in the Bull Run watershed because we don't allow people up there. We heavily regulate the Bull Run watershed. And so if I was a subcontractor, that would not be a piece of work that I would be angling for. It's hard to get to. It's heavily regulated and the like. But I just want to make a broad distinction between self-performing because it is highly technical work and self-performing because you're giving a shrug to the city's aspirational goals. If it were the latter, I would be very concerned.
Yeah, and I would also, you know, ditto to that comment. And also, you know, self-performing the work allows your company to be more competitive with its bid because you're in direct control over that amount of labor and the work that's being performed.
I just want to reiterate, if we have a goal of 20% and you come to me with one that's 2.1%, and then you say to me the reason for that is because we're going to self-perform most of the work, I would love to hear a plan about how either the company is going to diversify and actually provide training opportunities so that there's not just a couple of companies that do the work, or whether or not we just changed our mind and decided 2% is fine. And we're just going to accept that. I mean, I just don't think you can tell us you have this goal and then come and say 2% was the best we could do, because we're never going to get where we want to go if we accept that. And is this a company we've done business with in the past?
Yes.
And have they achieved the goals in the past?
I have a list of other projects that they performed, and these have been pump station work for BES and some work out of the Columbia Boulevard wastewater treatment plant. And for those four projects, they were low on the percentage as well.
So what are we doing to mitigate that? Finish my question, and then you can have them.
Well, he said you asked him a question. He said low. I'd just like to know what the percentage is.
So for a project on the Columbia Boulevard wastewater treatment plant, they only obtained 3% subcontractor utilization. On the Alder pump station upgrade, they obtained about 10%. On the Airport Way pump station improvements project, they obtained less than 5%. And the Safeway pump station upgrade project, they obtained less than 5% as well.
But that's very concerning. What was the company that we talked about a couple of weeks
More.
Ago?
More excavation.
More. I mean, with all due respect, given that those are projects that don't have the same argument around specialized work in a restricted area, how do we explain the low numbers there? This is not my item. I'm not speaking for the Water Bureau. I will tell you that they do some specialized work where there's a lot of self-performing because of the nature of the work. But how do we justify, to Commissioner Hardesty's point, dismal numbers, a pattern of dismal numbers like that on projects which I would have thought would have had lots of opportunities?
I hate to reiterate the point. I do know that pump station work, again, is highly specialized, and it's difficult to get subcontractors to perform that work. Another one of the pieces of feedback that Stellar J heard from some subcontractors is that working on a long-duration city project is not very lucrative for them. And I'll just say, with a busy market, there's lots of work to go around, and if you can pick a private job or a less risky job or a less administratively burdensome job, you're likely going to do that versus taking an opportunity to work on a city project where you take on a lot of risk because of the work is so highly specialized.
So what happens if we just reject this proposal and go back to the table and actually set some clear expectations?
That's a good question. I'd have to talk to the Water Bureau to see. I know that I don't know, this would cause a delay in their project. If it's an in-water work window, it may need to be something that waits until next year, which would affect the budget and the estimate for the job. I think the city needs to take a little bit of ownership in this situation, too. we know that these opportunities are coming in advance, and if we take a proactive approach and market these opportunities and engage firms that we want to work on our projects, we might have more success than just putting out our solicitation with our 20% aspirational program and then just expecting contractors to magically be able to meet those numbers.
May I read something from the impact statement?
And then Commissioner Daly.
I'm sorry, I'll defer.
Commissioner Daly.
So thank you, Lester. I think you do excellent work in this arena, and I know that you share, well, I assume you share our frustrations. And I can't speak for my absent colleague, but I know that Commissioner Fritz almost always has questions and concerns about low utilization rates. I asked a question last week or the week before about Moore. I hesitantly voted yes on a contract with very low utilization rates because I didn't understand the kind of legal liability I might have been putting the city in by rejecting a bid from the lowest responsible bidder. But I now have a different understanding in that it's not just the lowest responsible bidder, but it's the lowest responsive bidder. So if we have bidders who are not responsive either to our 20% aspirational goal of NWESB or would even more of a concern for me is what I'm hearing is something I heard yesterday from out of my bureau, where we accepted a lowest responsible bidder who doesn't want to comply with the requirements around our CEP and or CBA agreement. That's substantively different. Today we have an aspiration. In this situation, we have an actual policy. And so I really need your help and the help of the city attorneys to understand, you know, what is our obligation, what is our responsibility, and what is our power in these situations, because obviously not everyone shares our aspirations.
So Mayor, I have a proposal.
Commissioner.
Let me first read the impact statement, and again, the commissioner in charge is not here. The director is not here. We're hamstrung, really, in getting to the bottom of something, although you've heard different variations of this from council before, so you're not surprised. Quote, the existing valves, which is on a dam, are antiquated, leak, and are difficult to open and close. The valves in their current configuration require staff to stand on top of them while physically opening and closing the valves. These valves and other installations have catastrophically failed while operating, causing significant life safety risk to staff.
Wow.
The Bureau will install 3 new fixed cones, blah, blah, blah. So here's my recommendation. I move that we set this over a week, that we ask the Bureau and the Commissioner in charge to report back to Council on why we should accept this and what additional steps we can take with Stellar J. But I would be loath to reject it outright without hearing from the Bureau as to whether there is a window of opportunity to do this work. And the impact statement suggests that there's some life safety issues. By setting it over a week, we still get to make the decision, but we get to bring the Bureau in to help us understand that situation. So, Mayor, that would be my...
Commissioner Fish, could I make an alternative proposal?
Yeah.
Could I propose that we... hold the hearing on 907, 908, 918, take public testimony, because if we're going to get it, people are going to be here right now to give that testimony. But if it's okay with Lester, we can hold off on the final vote on the two of these are reports, and one of these is an emergency ordinance, assuming that time frame works at the Bureau. I would suggest we do everything except take the vote, and then we could reopen the conversation amongst ourselves with staff present, with the commissioner in charge present. Would that be an acceptable alternative?
So really what you're saying is in all three items, we set them over. We have the hearing.
Yeah, but I'd like to have the hearing today.
That's acceptable to me.
I don't ask people to come back. And Lester, would that time frame work for you? I know you've got one of these as an emergency ordinance.
Yes, I have the project manager from BES that could speak to the Burlingham, the second CPO report, 908.
Right now, I'm just narrowly asking, can we accept the proposal? I mean, we'll hear the presentation, but I want to know, in terms of the timing, if it's okay if we set it over for a week.
So the question to BES is, can we hold off a week taking a vote on an emergency ordinance on the Burlingame? Does that affect your timeline?
I don't think it does, but I think the outcome of the vote might be different. The aspirational goals identified by J.W. Fowler on our project are just under 21%.
Well, the council has the right to take the vote if we want, but okay. if we choose to set it over, does it create any problem?
No.
That's all we need to know for now. We'll hold the hearing and then decide.
Okay, so we'll continue, but we won't take the vote today. Good. Okay. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to be clear that for me, just telling me that you have an aspiration that's woefully underperforming is not going to gain my support. So I don't know what has to happen with the negotiating process so that you, when you come in front of City Council, that you are as close to your aspirations as you can possibly be, because it looks like we have a pattern of behavior that allows primary contractors to just disregard what our goals are and that we continue to contract with them regardless of whether or not they're close to the goals. And for me, that's just not acceptable.
And that means that it's going to be the window for passing these is going to close because you're hearing from one colleague that she has a non-negotiable bar for reviewing this. So I think at a minimum for me, Stellar J goes on the list of that other company that we're taking a look at to find out what's really going on. Mayor, Senator Lawrence just reminded me, with all due respect, that the BES matter is completely distinct from this one. Now, we can hear them all together, but 908
7, 8, and 18.
Yeah, they're completely different. They're BES items. We are above the aspirational goals, and I at least want to keep the door open for the council deciding to act on those.
Okay, so just to be clear, so I understand, are you saying
set over 907 for a week?
Set on 907, but 908 and 918, you believe you're prepared to act today?
Yes, and I think the council will, based on the numbers which we're going to be hearing from, I think the council may be inclined to act.
Okay,
as well.
Good. And just so people who may be watching this are not completely confused, 907 is very specific to the Water Bureau, whereas 908 and 918 are the Bureau of Environmental Services. It's a different set of systems, but we called them together because the same staff folks in procurement are working on all of these items.
Correct.
Just
correct.
To clarify that Thank for you. People okay. who may be confused. Commissioner Udaly.
So, Lester, you didn't have a chance to respond to me, and I'm happy to take this up with you outside of council setting, but I do want to ask one specific question for today. There were four bids received, so clearly there are other contractors that can do this work. This contractor is not responsive to our aspirational goals. Therefore, why wouldn't we look at the next lowest bid?
Wait. You may not like this answer, but they were responsive to our aspirational program. So within our admin rules for the subcontractor equity program, we define what we consider as a good faith effort. Mm-hmm. When we assessed Stellar J's engagement of certified firms, we believe that they did make a good faith effort, and that's why their bid was found to be responsive. With an aspirational program, we can only go off of a good faith effort.
And did we look at the good faith effort of the three other applicants?
We start with the lowest,
okay.
assess their effort, and then if they, we can find them non-responsive in that regard, and then we go to the second lowest bidder and the third lowest bidder and go from there.
It just seems like some kind of recalibration of the process is in order if we're ending up with, a good faith effort is a good faith effort, but we want real action.
So if we want to have a a required program, we would need to undertake a disparity study that would give us hard goals, and then we would be able to hold contractors accountable for meeting those goals.
And that's a very polite way of
saying,
under our current disparity study, it would be illegal for us to go from a aspirational goal to a fixed goal.
That's correct.
Well, if we're not getting anything in our aspirations, then I would suspect that we'd have to do something different. So, so there are at least 5 contracts with this company that never met an aspirational goal. And so there has to be a breakdown in the system that people keep getting contracts where they never, ever meet. Why do we have an aspirational goal if people don't actually have to meet it? And you're the messenger, Lester. You know I love you. You know I know you're trying to do good work, right? But this is the bane of my existence in this building, because we say one thing and then the outcomes look different. And then we say, well, there's nothing we can do because legally we can't make people do stuff. Well, yes, we can. We got a lot of money that we give to people. So we can aspire to be better and then hold people accountable for that aspiration, I believe. But thank you. This is not personally directed at you, Lester. I know how hard you work. I know what you're trying to accomplish. But it's just unacceptable that we continue to take these really horrible outcomes and then say that's the best we can do.
So, Mayor, we're going to set 907 aside over till next week and then take up 908?
Correct.
Hi. Good. Welcome.
Hi.
So let me just add one thing to what Commissioner Hardesty said, because something is definitely out of whack.
Yes.
Either the aspirational goals are wrong, and we need to have an honest conversation about why that's the case, or there's something wrong on the delivery end. And it may be a combination of the two. I don't know, but there is an opportunity for a reset here. Commissioner Udaly.
And I mean, I think we may need more nuance in these goals, because it is true for some of this work, there are very few contractors to choose from. It's also true the market is still very competitive. And as Lester said, these projects aren't always the most lucrative. So, I think there's some areas we know there's plenty of contractors, but there's others where there's not, and we may need to be able to account for that.
So one other thing on this, and then I'm going to go to Commissioner Hardesty on this, and then we'll move on, because it's a great conversation. If we are repeatedly either aspiring too high, and I don't think 21% strikes me as being aspiring particularly high, to be honest with you, and we're not hitting the target repeatedly, if the reasoning is what Commissioner Udaly says it is, and I believe she's probably right, just based on anecdotal information, then the right answer is really about capacity building. In these areas where we continually, repeatedly fall below our expectations in terms of women and minority contractors, then we should be using the resources we have in Prosper or elsewhere to help build up the capacity. And I realize that's a longer term play, but ultimately that may be where we really need to put some of the work in here. And I think we need to answer that question. Why are either the aspirations too high, the performance too low, and what are the options that are available to this council to address it over the long term? Because I feel what Commissioner Fish said is correct, that while this seems like a really arcane issue, a damn one needle valve replacement, my concern is for other larger project areas like Superfund, we're going to run into the same issue. And if we're going to run into that issue, I'd like to know it now and be able to plan for it and make targeted investments and focus policies to address it. So, Commissioner Hardesty, you had a final comment.
Thank you, Mayor. My final statement was just, I know if you came to me and said I had a $1.5 million contract and I want a contract with you for $5,000, I wouldn't be that interested either in doing any paperwork to put it in with your application. So, I mean, it's about how are we really creating opportunities, or are we just going to people that we know are already busy just so that we can check a box and say we talked to X number of people of color, right? You said they reached out to 60 companies. I don't know what that means. Did they send an email? Did they actually have phone conversations? Did they have a meeting in their office? because if I look at the breakdown, it just, I wouldn't bother to do the paperwork because it's not worth it for me. If you're getting $1.5 million and you're going to give me $5,000, why would I want to do that? So that's my last statement on this. We can move forward.
All right. Thank you, Lester. Appreciate it. 908, please.
Good afternoon, Lester.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Lester Spittler, the Chief Procurement Officer. So we have two items. We have a CPO report and an emergency ordinance.
You're describing 908 and 918 together then?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
908 is the CPO report, and 918 is the emergency ordinance.
All right, thank you.
When the Bureau of Environmental Services filed its original authorizing ordinance, they used a legacy template that limited their ability to execute a contract if the bid came in over the estimate. So that's one of the reasons why we're here with an emergency ordinance, is to correct that authorizing ordinance to allow for that flexibility. So that authorizing ordinance was approved on May 8th, 2019. The engineer's estimate at the time was $2,112,000, and the confidence level was high. We issued an invitation to bid on July 29th. And bids were due on August 20th. We had a mandatory pre-bid conference, and we had 11 contractors attend. Seven of those were primes, two of those were subcontractors, and two were suppliers. On August 20th, we received four bids. James W. Fowler is the apparent low bidder and is the recommended awardee with a bid amount of $2,235,000, which is 5.8% over the estimate. The city's 20% aspirational program applied to this solicitation, and James W. Fowler has committed to self-performing approximately 69% of the work. They've identified almost 21% of the work that they will engage certified subcontractors on, and almost 11% of the work will go to non-certified subcontractors. I have a table in the CPO report that shows each of the certified subcontractors, what their certification is, the area of work, and what their ownership is. And I also have a table in the report to council that shows the non-certified contractors and subcontractors and what they'll perform work in. So I have the project manager from BES here to answer any project-related questions. But if there are no questions, we recommend that you accept this report and authorize execution of the contract.
I move the report.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Are we prepared to take the vote today? Commissioner Fish, you're good with it, obviously?
Yep.
Very good. Any opposition?
Is this an emergency?
It's
this
a report.
Is a report.
So we're just accepting the report. Call the roll.
Hardesty?
I appreciate the work that's gone into this report. I feel like I'm a broken record because I keep asking the same question every time we have procurement conversations. I will not be voting for any procurement packages that come through that aren't clearly making the case for why there are no communities of color or women that are available to do the work. And it will no longer be acceptable to say to me that, you know, they did a good faith effort and they didn't find anybody. So I vote no.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fish.
Well, let's be clear. They've exceeded all the goals we set on this project.
Not
21% exceeds our goals. So just
do you see 21? Oh.
So just to be clear.
We're on 908.
I'm not questioning your vote. I'm just saying that on this one.
That's correct.
We hit our mark, okay. And so I'll vote aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The report's adopted to 918. So 918, have you completed your presentation?
We've completed.
And we need to take public testimony if there is any on 918. It's an ordinance.
Sorry, don't think Maggie came back.
She did not come back. Last chance. Any further discussion? Call the roll.
Hardesty.
No.
This is an emergency.
On 918?
918.
So if you vote no, it forces us to come back next week, wait an extra month. And we have met the guy, Lester's already reported that we exceeded the aspirational goals.
It's an emergency.
Correct.
There's no opposition. There's no complaint filed to the, so a no vote means that we defeat the emergency clause.
For my esteemed colleagues, I will be happy to change my vote on this particular piece of legislation today. because, as you said, we have exceeded the goals on this. However, comma, I won't be forced to vote for something just because you need an emergency. But today, I will make an exception, and I will change my vote to vote aye for this particular piece of legislation. Aye.
Thank you. Daly?
Aye.
Fish?
Thank you, my colleague. Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. We will now move.